Hey there, golf enthusiasts and playing through podcast listeners. I know what you're thinking. How did these three no-talent hacks start a podcast? Well, the answer is simple. Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. First, it's free, which is almost like not costing anything. Second, for those that are slightly tech-challenged, it has a built-in creation tool that allows you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. The next question, how do you get the podcast out for people to hear? Well, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more. Wait, you want to get paid for your efforts? Anchor covers that too. You can get paid with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to podcast in one place. So here's what you do. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thanks for listening and keep it in the short grass. Welcome, golf enthusiasts, to the Playing Through Golf podcast. I'm joined today with Chris Lopez.
Howdy.
And special guest, Jacob Harris.
Hello there.
And my name is William Starcevich. Hey, so we're going to kick off today with talking a little bit about a local golf course that we did our recent quick nine on. And it's called Pebble Creek Golf Course. And the reason that Jacob is here, there's several reasons, but Jacob worked for a few years at Pebble Creek, so he has kind of a little bit of the inside local knowledge of the course before he moved on to, we'll call it greener pastures. So a couple weeks ago, myself, Chris, and Travis, who's noticeably absent today, we went out and walked, and Travis actually walked with us.
It's actually on film.
Yeah, and it is.
It's actually on film.
So you can check it out on our YouTube channel, and you can see Travis doesn't gasp for air that much.
Not that much.
No, we thought we were going to have
the first hole.
I thought we were gonna have to break out the electro pads, but
the AED.
I wouldn't believe that he walked unless I saw video of it.
Yeah, well, that, tune in.
Check.
Tune in. It's like a Sasquatch sighting.
It really is.
So, yeah. So Jacob, Pebble Creek has kind of some, I don't know. I want to say troubled history a little bit. From what I understand, the course opened in 2005 with the designs of being an 18-hole golf course, but currently it's at a 9-hole golf course, which is a par 36. So why don't you give us a little bit of your history there and what you did and what you kind of experienced while you were working there?
Well, while I worked there, I was there for about 2.5 years or so, and we were working out of the maintenance shed. Two owners, we had an owner of the golf course and then the owner of the clubhouse. They had a little disagreement, so we were no longer in the clubhouse, so it was kind of rough working from the maintenance shed that was actually through the neighborhood, so you had to drive through the neighborhood to get to the golf course.
Right,
so that stopped us from serving any alcohol or food, so that definitely...
And that's no fun on a golf course.
No, that cuts back, and then we had no range or practice greens, so that also...
When the split, they weren't able to use that practice facility that's there, that is really nice looking, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's a nice driving range area.
I didn't know that part of it.
The practice green's nice and big. Definitely went downhill with, you know, lack of, you know, people working on it and everything. But, nice little practice area up there. Just wish it could have got going while I was there, and especially being in the clubhouse would have helped out a lot. Because they lost out on a lot of play by not having...
Well, it was so far range from where you had to be. They actually, didn't they make number two, number one when it was...
Yep.
So, which we can say when we played there, we played there twice this year.
Right.
That you actually went to the existing clubhouse. Now, we didn't go all the way in it. We basically went into the
foyer there.
The foyer there, which had a little card reader, a couple of soda machines.
Yeah, beer.
And
range balls.
Yeah, and that was it. So, but
it
was
functional.
It's
an extremely nice, from the outside, clubhouse. I don't really remember the inside, but just from the outside, you look at it and you're like...
The first time I played it, we went into the clubhouse and actually had dinner.
Oh, did you really?
It was actually good. It was actually good food.
You're talking way back, though?
Oh, yeah, we're talking way back.
Before they had houses?
Yeah, before they had the houses.
I played once before where you could literally see the interstate from a lot of those
houses
build up.
That was before all the hubbub happened.
Well, for those that don't know, this golf course is located at 3851 Forest Grove Drive in LeClaire, Iowa. Like I said, a 9-hole regulation course. It measures out for a par 36 at 3,419 yards. We can go into the turf conditions a little bit from when we played the first time to when we played the second time.
Right.
So we teed off on what is now, what was number one supposed to be, mm-hmm. and it is now, which is a cool little, I won't even call it a dog leg because it really wraps around the lake.
Yeah.
It's how much do you want to bite off?
It's a tough first shot of the day.
Yeah, it's a risk-reward hole for sure. The more you want to bite, mm-hmm. the better, the shorter shot you're going to have in. Mm-hmm. But with that said, the tee box was in pretty good shape.
Yep.
We got out to the fairway, and it was pretty long.
Yeah.
And it was not necessarily bent grass.
No, it was a lot of weeds.
It's what I like to call 100-mile-per-hour grass.
Right.
If you're going by at 100-mile-per-hour, it looks fine.
Yep.
But when you're standing on it, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
The greens were in decent shape. I'm not going to say good shape. Yeah, time. Very spongy.
Spongy.
Which is a huge thatch layer thing, which just comes from maintenance. Mm-hmm. But the layout was there.
Yep.
And, that was kind of the conditions we experienced all the way around. You can tell where there were some bunkers that they decided they were not going to maintain anymore.
Correct.
And then some of them, which I think were actually only on 1 and 9, if I'm going to be totally honest.
Yeah.
That they are still maintaining.
Yeah. I think those were the only ones that I recall. Maybe 1 on 4.
There's not a whole lot of bunkers on the course.
No.
Really 1 and 9.
There was the legit one and nine,
and then on 2, the one that was
that's totally gone.
Yeah, that's gone. And then there's 1 on 5 in the middle of the, on that left side on the fairway.
Okay.
And that one has got some sand in it that is not normal sand.
Yeah,
you sink into that thing.
It's the base for concrete mix or something.
Yeah.
But the second time we went and played, which was 3 weeks ago maybe,
yeah.
that I thought there was a marked improvement on turf conditions.
Yeah. Especially now, the greens.
Yeah, the greens seemed better. Now, there was still some desiccation on some of them where you're going to have some bare spots.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I thought they were in better shape. And like I said, the bunkers, the ones that were maintained were in better shape.
Yep.
In particular, the one that's greenside on number 9 because I got to visit that one.
Yep. But you got out of it okay.
I got up and down for par out of a bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's on video as well, so that's worth a like and a share and whatever else you're going
to
do.
Definitely going to have to be cut out.
Like,
nobody can really
see. And actually, you can't see me on the video.
Mm-hmm.
You just see the shot come up and then me make the putt.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah.
But they would not lie for me.
And I think you did some talking as well.
Yeah, so. They wouldn't lie for me on that.
You're amazing at editing, so I'm curious to see what it looks like.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
And I'm tall and thin in that one. It's really weird.
I hate it when that happens.
So Jacob, your history, you grew up somewhat locally in Galesburg,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of got into the golf industry, and then you attended secondary education for golf. Where?
The Golf Academy of America. I went to the Phoenix campus out there. They have 5 campuses. Had the school is currently closed down. No fault of theirs. I believe it was the upper school. They're an umbrella school, so it wasn't my school is the one that was doing bad things.
Yeah, the original.
I don't even honestly know what happened. I just know that they are no longer accepting students or teaching anybody.
Well, the original one was Golf Academy of San Diego.
San Diego, yep.
And then it went out to Golf Academy of Arizona, I think Orlando, and mm-hmm. all those different branches. But really, that was during what most people refer to as the Tiger boom.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing was on the turf side. There was all these other schools popping up for, turf managers. And now there's really only the legit ones left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Phoenix, there was one called the Mundus Institute. That's been long since defunct. What is there, 227 golf courses in the Phoenix metro area? So there was we might as well have a school here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But why don't you give us an example of what you did on the daily at the Golf Academy? Because, I'll be totally honest with you. It sounds a little better than going to, let's say Augustana and majoring in chemistry like someone we know.
If you're a golfer, most definitely. I was sitting in Moline online on Facebook one day, and I believe we had close to a foot of snow outside. And I was scrolling, and I had a message pop up that said, "Do you want to go to school that makes you golf twice a week?" And I instantly signed up for it. And I don't want to say I got accepted because I'm pretty sure everyone gets accepted, but we'll say I got accepted. And I just went out there, 18-month school, Got my associate's degree in golf complex management and operations. So basically kind of run the pro shop, you know, do stuff like that. So did that. I actually got a lot better grades than I did in regular school, you know. So went out there and actually applied myself for once. And I just love working in the golf industry.
Let's be fair. Your Monday morning class was what?
It was tough.
You know, you had a strong weekend. You know, you're out drinking some beers with the boys.
Yeah, there's football on Sunday. It'd be tough. But my Monday class was to wake up, make sure you were wearing a collared shirt, clean shaved, showed up on time, and all you did was golf 18 holes. And if you finished all 18 holes, no matter what your score was, you got 100% in the class.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jiminy.
That is what I'm talking about.
I am in the wrong business.
And then during the week, you could sign up to play. You got a free round of golf at. They gave you blocks for different courses. So you literally got 2 free rounds of golf. And depending
every
on
week.
Yeah, depending on the time, it could go anywhere from probably $40 to $60 round to $100, $150 round.
Yeah, and what Jacob's referring to there is the time of year. So in Arizona, when the days are shorter, just like everywhere else, but that makes the tee times more valuable. Mm-hmm. And there's so many more snowbirds that they charge higher rates during the winter. But during the summertime, you can go play the legit golf courses if you're willing to bear the 115 degree temperatures to go play a True North for $12 or $25 or whatever it
is. Around here, that'd be like playing Deer Run for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With the cart.
Yeah, with the cart.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not hoofing nothing out there.
And you may have 20 people on the entire course the entire day.
Yeah, like you have it to yourself, for real.
But out there, if you don't have water or a cool tag, a cool rag, they might be coming to find you on the course.
Oh, yeah, so, no, it's just watch for the buzzard circling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're picking at bones. Mm-hmm. So to be totally upfront with everyone, we tried to record this episode a few days ago, but... the four of us went out and played 18 holes, and we walked it. And then we're like, oh, then we'll record it right after. Say we were beat down energy-wise,
we were a little saucy.
We got saucy. We got off topic a few times.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah,
the attention deficit disorder went
ADHD
in hardcore.
Kicked it big time.
So, but we will give some credit to Travis. He actually walked there too.
He walked the first nine holes.
He walked nine, so that don't even.
Well, it,
I mean, we'll say it counts, but I think it counts-ish.
Like
you need to walk at least 10 for it to count as a round of golf.
And I know that he's not here to chime in, so I will say that we played match play on the back nine, and he beat me one up.
Wait,
I said it.
Who won?
Travis did.
Travis did.
Okay. I was there. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, Travis did.
Yep.
And it's probably the low light of my life.
It cost
actually.
You an Angus burger, was that?
Yeah, well, what did he order?
Yeah, what was that? The grilled steak Angus burger from Hardee's? I almost said Carl's Jr.'s.
Yeah.
For those out west.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I told him he should have gone to Red Lobster somewhere, but he was bent on...
he knew that there's going to be another wager coming up, and he didn't want to go too much with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, speaking out west, so what's your plans tomorrow?
I'm going to wake up, fly out there. Hopefully everything goes good. Last night my mom had on SVU, and right as I walked in, there was a plane crash going on. So that kind of put me down a little bit. So I was like, well, you know, let's calm down.
It's still safer to car.
Especially the way you drive.
Yeah, and the car you drive. The plane's going to be much safer.
The plane, well... There's no deer up in there,
Absolutely. So
we got that. Yeah. We got that.
Yeah, but it is geese are going south.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and just kind of hang out.
What courses do you work at?
Right now, I'm not going to work at a course this year.
You're not?
I'm kind of a free agent right now.
Okay.
Just kind of seeing what I want to do. The golf industry is kind of sometimes can beat down on you a little bit, so I'm just kind of seeing what else I can do. I have a degree.
Especially done year-round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's taxing.
Yeah.
It's a
you don't make a lot of money.
No.
But like I tell people, it's not the hardest job, and I actually enjoy coming to work. So not a lot of people can say that,
mm-hmm.
and not a lot of people can say they actually use their degree for their job. So I'm pretty lucky doing that, but sooner or later I would like to just do a little more with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's more to be done, and I feel like with Tiger last year, the way he played, and then with the COVID going on, a lot of people are getting into golf. I'd like to try to figure out a way to keep people into golf, get more out there to the course. Because I know a lot of buddies of mine that went out for the first couple times this year and actually loved the game just because they can
Well, we saw it here. Yeah. Like, after the COVID restrictions lifted, well, even when they were still technically on, we had a bumper year here after, you know, June, July. But speaking of, you know, some of the things that you want to do to bring more people to golf, one of the things that you did during the COVID that first kicked up was an event called Chip In for Charity, which was a fundraiser. Well, you describe it.
Well, basically, I watched Tiger and Phil do their little match play events, and I just love doing the match play. And once I realized that, you know, with everything going on, we can maybe raise a little money for people, it was just a little fun day to go out there and golf. So I got a couple buddies together, and then we were extremely lucky to have you be able to come out and record for us and kind of do the commentary, and everything worked out. It ended up being perfect. We raised, what was it, almost $7,000, I think, between everything.
And you filmed it, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also on the YouTube channel. It's broken to, I believe it's three different sections. And Jacob, to his credit, you had to wait till the final. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody was able to clutch it out on 18. Yeah, one of his proudest moments, it has to be.
Yeah, you can feel free to fast forward past hole two.
Yeah, that one was.
Yeah, that was not pretty.
That was a little Hazel Rocket-ish.
Yeah. I mean, I would have made a par from
there. I mean, that ball got out of picture fast.
It did.
It really did. It got out of picture
fast. But, to my credit, from me, I mean, I showed Casey right where the wind was going. I showed him right where not to hit it. He put it on the green, and
Casey was his partner. He stuffed one in there pretty good and then made the putt. So their team match play was it worked out.
Yeah,
this is something you can think about when you get to Arizona too. I mean, if you hook up with a course and say that's something for your resume.
Actually, that is one thing I've already been kind of talking to a couple buddies, and I'm gonna try to do something out there at Del Valley. I have the assistant pro there, and we'll get a couple people, and then I got a couple bars and a couple places around my house that we go to quite a bit. So try to get them to kind of do something with it. And basically, I just like doing it because it gets me to go out there and kind of compete, but also have a good time in golf.
Yeah, no, you have the nerves going to play. Playing golf with nerves is different than playing golf.
Yeah.
So, Dove Valley is just off of Carefree Highway. I think it's technically Phoenix, or is it Cave Creek?
I think it's Cave Creek.
So, it's north Scottsdale, north Phoenix area. It's one of those courses that when I was out there, especially when I was up north in Flagstaff, it was one that we would drive down to in the wintertime to play. But back then there wasn't any houses around it, and it was a little bit different than when I went over when you were there last year.
Quite a few houses.
Yeah, now it's totally different. I couldn't have, before it was easy to find. Like, I had to map it this time because it's, you know, more of in a neighborhood. But yeah, that's to say you have the life of Riley golf wise. That's the way to do it. You work the season, and I know that sometimes the hours get longer here, especially for you in the shoulder season, because we don't have as many people. But it gives you a little bit, you know, maybe a little extra cash to not have to go out there and automatically get a job working again, where you can enjoy some of the time, which is what I like looking forward to in the off season here. Because, you know, like I said, I go down to Florida and out to Arizona and stuff, which is nice to actually get away from here and the job. Everybody thinks the job is super easy in golf. Hey, you play golf for a living. Well, not exactly.
I mean, it's tolerable and it's nice, but there's still some stress. I mean, for me, since I went to school, it's not just a job for me. It's kind of my career.
Yeah, it's a career.
And it's something that I'm very passionate about. So when I come to a course and it just seems like not everyone has the same goal, sometimes you just got to go somewhere else, I guess.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, and every course has some just want to kind of get by and do what they can, and then some really want to, you know, make a lot of money, or, you know, be out there, you know, in the public
eye. Game,
and it's just,
yeah, grow the game is the PGA initiative, and sometimes you don't see that.
Yeah, right. And it's tough. This year is very tough, even though, I mean, I think it's more, not necessarily the golfers that came out, but just not the uncertainty of knowing, like, for next year and years ahead, you know?
Well,
I mean, who knows what's even going to happen for next year?
Yeah, specifically for us here, not only the COVID, but some of the other changes that we'll address later on, it made it uncertain for the golf industry as a whole, because we were shut down in Illinois where we had different restrictions and no play and that kind of thing. And then some of the things that happened here during the season, you know, and there's and still to this point, there's uncertainty for next year. Like, what what is going to happen? We don't know. So far, we haven't been... we have no reason to believe that it's going to be fantastic, right? Like, there's nothing that's, you know, set in stone. Mm-hmm. But it also could be. So you never know.
Yeah, I like to keep my my hopes up.
Yeah.
Whether, like, even the years that I wasn't here, after mulling here for the 2 years and then leaving because of getting laid off, this is the one course that I always wanted to do good because I think it would be...
For the layout-wise of this course.
The golf industry, the Quad Cities, this could be literally the one right below Deer Run.
And
layout-wise...
I think it surpasses it.
I don't think I've heard anybody say they like Deer Run's layout.
No, even when I was working in the pro shop, there was people that come in here and they just said the layout for this joint is much better than...
I agree.
And the views, run. But when you go to TPC, you know what you're going to get because they are TPC and they have money.
Yeah, their budget's a little different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm partial to TPC because, like I said, I was there for, you know, 2 years during the construction and the grow-in and, you know, seeding and putting first cuts on stuff. And, you know, TPC... The DA Wybring design, it means a lot to me, that course. But layout-wise, we trump it here
at Fire Lake. I really do. I really feel like that this, you know, Fire Lake has always had the better layout. It's just aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, let's take a fall day here. You know, you're off that first tee box staring right into Fire Lake.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat that view, you know.
There's 12 holes that you remember when you leave.
There's so many views here.
I mean,
which is, like I said before, like, that's the... The mark of a good golf course is how many holes can you remember vividly?
Mm-hmm.
Like they really stand out to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you using every club in your bag? Is it, like, not only is your tee shot memorable, but what's your approach shot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you remember those things.
Something we should look into as we progress with this program is that as we get people more interactive with it, ask them what is their favorite hole, because I guarantee you, you're going to have somebody that's going to like.
Yep.
You know, every hole, and there's somebody's gonna like a hole of every, you know, every hole is gonna get some love.
Yeah, right.
You know, because
there is no manila hole out here.
And that's like, I mean, 1, 2, 4, and 17, mm-hmm. just right off the bat that I think of, are probably the most basic holes out there, but they have a lot more character than just your regular municipal course where the fairways are just, you know, straight. Got the circle green. I mean, there's just so much out there.
There's no flat lies out here.
Yeah, you think about it. So number 2 is one of the plainer holes out here. Okay, so
besides
if you pull it left, you're in wetland.
Mm-hmm.
You go up, and it's the green has a big, a bailout area to the left. It's protected by bunkers short and left, and then there's a huge ridge throughout the middle of the green. So it has to be played as almost 3 separate greens. The back shelf, then the 2 lower shelves are divided.
Right.
So it's like that automatically, and then so you think about it. If that was on another course, number 2 would be like, oh damn.
Yeah.
But here it gets lost in the shuffle.
Yep, right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it loses out to, you know, 13, I mean, obviously, with the signature hole, and it loses out to, I would say, 12.
Yeah, you know, 15.
11, 3.
Yeah. 10, the other par 5. Yeah. So, anyway, we could go on about this
all
day.
I was going to say, you can name off every hole.
Yeah. So, I kind of wanted to touch a little bit on what's going on with the PGA right now. So, PGA, this last week, was the Bermuda Championship. I'm not sure. I didn't watch it, but I wanted to check to see who did what. Well, there was a playoff, and Brian Gay won the playoff. Do you know? You're familiar with Brian Gay,
right? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Brian Gay has been around for a long time. I want to say that he has 12 wins, but I'm not sure if that's on the mini tours, too.
Yeah, I think that's mini.
Yeah, so 48-year-old Brian Gay wins. Like I said, 15-year in between wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the resurgence of everybody. Like, I don't know what his driving distance was, but it was really cool to see one of the older set. He's only 2 years away from the senior tour.
Right.
And he's winning.
Okay.
So I just thought it was kind of cool that he actually got back in the winner's circle and, you know, kind of, yay, old guys. Like, I don't, you know.
I mean, I think they said that even with Tiger winning the Masters the last time. I mean.
Well, didn't Fred Funk make the cut and he was only averaging like 240 off the tee?
Yeah probably. Yeah. Well, Stuart Sink was in the top 10.
Yeah.
And Stuart Sink, is he senior tour? He's got to be close.
He's close, but I don't think he's senior tour yet.
So, it's one of those other, like, damn, I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
And then this week, they're in Houston for the Shell Houston Open, which is a weird...
kind of precursor instead of, you know, the courses in Georgia for when you're coming up to the Masters. You know, there's they usually play in Georgia the week before.
Right.
It's kind of like their tune-up. So, but now their tune-up is the Shell Houston Open.
Totally
different vibe. Like, I haven't checked the field, but I would imagine there's a lot of guys skipping it.
I think there's been a lot of skips. Wasn't Ian one of them? And
I think there's a couple decent names in there, I'm guessing. You know, the guys that want to get their swings in, but...
Well, the guys that are trying to make sure they keep their card.
Right.
That too. So, I just... I was looking through... Yeah, speaking of that, Masters next week. Masters next week.
Wow. Masters next week. Dude, you have no idea how exciting this is.
And the best part about it is...
In four months?
Is the Masters again in like 4.5 months.
Yeah.
So, but I was looking at the PGA schedule, and you know, usually we get you know to this time of year, and it's the silly season. They're doing like the, you know, the tour challenges where the LPGA, PGA, Senior PGA, they're doing different, different like skins type games, those kind of things. But really, we only have a couple weeks now that are off. There's going to be regular PGA events, and then it just kind of feeds right into next year. Like before we know it, they're going to be. In Kapalua, and then you know, Pebble.
Yeah.
Well, and we missed out on a lot this year. Missed out on the Ryder Cup, Olympics.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the first week that they're allowing fans, too.
I think they were really? Allowing some.
2,000 fans a day because
at Shell.
I saw some of the highlights from yesterday, and they had, you know, the usual thing you see behind a tee box, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, dressed to the nines and all their outfit and carrying a beer.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, so, and I'm sure enough, sooner or later, somebody's going to yell, you know, some stupid.
Get in the hole.
Yeah, get in the hole, or you know, what's that thing they always yell that irritates the heck out of Tiger? I don't know.
I know the one that I always hear when they're in New York is the Baba Booey gets.
Yeah, the Baba Booey. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
You know, from Howard Stern.
Right.
So, this year's U.S. Open. Do you guys know where that's at? Or, well, I'm sorry, 2021's U.S. Open.
I do not know.
Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines.
Which we were just talking about how I, you know, the their PGA event will be in February. And then you roll it back again, you know, in the end of June and you do the U.S. Open there.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be cool for me because being on that property, you know, in 2008, 2009, it'll kind of be neat to sit and watch the U.S. Open again, but being at that location. But you would have to kind of think that Tiger would...
That's
he always
like
plays
home
well.
Course. It's kind of like a home course for him.
He's a Southern California kid, so...
He has like five or six courses that I feel like he has a chance to win at.
No matter what?
Nearly no matter his age, as long as he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Augusta, well, just like, Torrey Pines,
Pebble.
Except that he doesn't really play Pebble when it's just the Pro-Am.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like Poa Greens.
Right.
So like Fred Couples. Like no matter what, Fred Couples at the Masters... You've got to think he's a threat to be in the top 10 every time.
Well, I think any of those guys that have won it now, I mean yeah. Even Bubba, I mean, as goofy as he is, I mean, he still has a chance because it, you know, and when he had his run, it was like, okay, he can figure this out. I mean, he's there.
I would say Mike Weir, but I don't think he's got a shot.
No.
What about Patrick Reed?
Sure. I mean, he can improve his life there. I mean, there's so many cameras there. It's hard for him to improve his life like that.
Yeah, let's not go there.
So,
well, what's the one, the British guy that won it? Danny? But he, you know, you see a lot of those guys. Trevor Immelman would have been another one. Mm-hmm. They won it, and then you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like they're just not there.
Well, it's like Tiger always said. He's like, anyone can go out there, have a good round, put two together, get four together, win a tournament. But to be really great... You gotta do it multiple times and keep doing it consistently.
And I think it's funny you bring up Freddie because Freddie, even in his you know advancing age, the guy still can put rounds together out there, and it's because he knows the place.
And that's the thing. That's someone that if you're on a fan, if you're doing fantasy, you
and,
pick
and let's
him
be honest,
you know
he needs the money.
Oh yeah. Well, I think he's got like four marriages. He's got four.
Yeah. So you know, if we weren't feeling, you know, bad enough about. Our round or our game, me in particular, about how we played a few days ago. I went through and was looking at some of the celebrities and what their handicap indexes are.
I want to hear this.
So, I'm just going to say that the only one that I might be able to beat on here, I'll save that one for last.
Right.
I'm going to throw out a few names here, and I want you guys to give me a guesstimation on what you think their handicap index is.
Okay.
And this is their legit USGA straight up gen number, okay? Bill Murray.
I'm going to say
the Dalai Lama himself.
I'm going to say 13.
Jacob, what you got?
10.
7.2.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I got the honor of seeing him at the Deer Classic. I actually still have film of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Legally or illegally?
Very legal.
Okay. It wasn't through the people at the...
Although I knew a lot of ladies in the area that it got a hug. I was going to say,
it wasn't in the bathroom shack.
Yeah. Let's hope not. Jesus.
Okay, so here's another one that... okay, so we all think back to his boy band days, but this guy actually cares about golf, and he actually purchased a golf course in his home area in, I believe it was Tennessee,
mm-hmm. refurbished it. I think he's Memphis area.
Yeah, Memphis. Yeah, Justin Timberlake. So what are you guys thinking for Justin Timberlake's handicap?
I'm saying 2.
I'm going to say 6.
You were very close. It's a 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
A 1 handicap and Jessica Biel. Life's not fair, bro.
Man, that's hot.
Life's not fair.
Yeah, that's really not fair.
Okay, so here's another one that I know is going to be Jacob's favorite. Michael Jordan's legit handicap.
I say 38.
38, okay.
Legit handicap.
His legit handicap.
I'm going to call 22.
1.9 is what it claims.
He claims.
1.9.
I want to see that on paper.
So, you know, but if I was, we all know he's a gambling man.
Yeah.
If that's the claim is 1.9, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be gambling. I want mine at a 26, 27. Yeah. I want 2 strokes a hole. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sandbag the heck out of him.
So here's
he wears some awful clothing when he golfs.
Here's the best 2 on this in particular list. Steph Curry of Golden State. He's actually played a couple of days. I don't think he's ever made a cut on the Corn Ferry or the buy.com.
Right. I know he's been,
he's been close.
Yeah, he's put up decent numbers. I don't think he's just been that one that's where you're like, why do we even ask him? Even though there are still those people that don't know why they ask celebrities for the sponsors. But
when Michelle Wee was really young and she was here at the John Deere and she actually fell out from heat exhaustion that one year. That was kind of one of those.
I think that's different. I don't.
Well, they're getting. Wasn't Tiger's one of Tiger's first events was when it was.
Is it Oakwood?
Is it Oakwood? And he had a sponsor's exemption.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, they want butts in the seats. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason that a lot of these PGA events, they offer appearance fees. Remember when Tiger went to, I want to say it was Australia or New Zealand or something like that for an event?
Well, I know.
And he got paid scratch and then he won the event.
Yeah, because when he goes to...
Did he go to China and do the same thing?
Probably.
It was an insane amount.
I think it was like Saudi Arabia or something.
Yeah, it was like an insane amount.
He got like $1 million or something.
Just to show up?
I believe he made more just showing up than the winner would have made.
That's the way it was in that other one. Yeah. And I want to say it was Australia, but... So, where were we going with this? So, Steph Curry, he's a 0.1 handicap.
Man.
So, and now here's the next one. Now, this one's actually a plus handicap. Which means that he averages below par.
Wow.
Any guesses?
Romo.
Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And now he's a plus 0.3. So, but that means that he averages just under par every round.
That means the guy's got some serious
game. He's got some serious game.
Yep.
And that's why he tries to qualify for the U.S. Open.
When we talked about, we were going to talk about some of these famous people. I was actually came up on my Twitter page. Rafa Nadal.
Oh, yeah.
He ended up finishing 6th in an event in Spain. And he has a pretty good swing.
Really?
For a tennis player. And he plays right-handed.
I was just getting
right-handed. He's a left-handed tennis player.
Well, isn't Phil Mickelson right-handed?
He's right-handed.
He plays left-handed.
He used to mirror his dad.
Mirror his dad's swing.
That's awesome.
Well, Tiger started out being lefty because he watched his dad and then he switched over to being right. Tiger actually started out being lefty.
He probably could still shoot scratch the other way around.
Well, we've all seen that Brooks Koepka video of him in like that 8-iron, like 190 yards.
Yeah.
Left-handed.
Well, and I think in the European Tour, it's been kind of fun because if you watch the European Tour on, like, say, Thursday, they have, like, these little bizarre little contests like that where they'll say, you know, hit this left-handed 8-iron or you pick a club, you know.
I like the ones where they say to try to make a heart and they have the shot tracer.
Yeah.
And they'll try to cut one or draw one in cut one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's made the European Tour real, you know.
Well, they also do. I've seen them where they'll hit, and they have like something floating out, like in a pond or somewhere. They have like hit close.
Well, they've done one down an avenue in a street.
Yeah.
You know, in Paris, I think it was on the Champs-Élysées, however you say it.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, yeah. And they put out a tee box and a green down here, and to see who could hit it. And I think that's. I mean, you want to grow the game. That's a great way to do it.
No, get it out there, make things fun. That's not a 4-hour deal.
That's what Topgolf's all about.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I remember we did the thing at the end of our tournament one year, you know, where we went over to between 10 and 11 and
made it a little 65-yard shot over water, get it close to the pin, mm-hmm. with everybody around being loud.
Who won that?
It's funny that Chris brings that up because he actually made the puck to confirm. Every sandbagger.
Oh, it was beautiful. I ended up putting a lot of money in that tournament.
Yeah, full 8-iron.
All right, so here's another one. Tom Brady. Do you think he's a single digit or above?
I'm going to say single.
I say above.
9.3. Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch.
I think he's... I'm going to say low double digits, but I think he's coming down pretty... I think he's playing a lot right now.
He's at a 7.
Wow, okay.
Now, this is one that should be no surprise because he always does well in the... was it the Tahoe Celebrity? John Smoltz.
God, he's... I'm going to say he's a
2 or 3, yeah.
He's a 2. Oh, and your guy, Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, there's discrepancy on his, I believe, because it depends on if it's during football season or off season.
Yeah.
Because I know at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, he keeps, I don't know if he wins it or he does pretty well and people are kind of mad in a fun way, but I'm going to say 5.
He's a 9.
Wow.
Matt Ryan, quarterback. It's the quarterbacks that are good.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks and pitchers.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I think
and punters.
Quarterbacks even practice anymore?
No, they're not allowed to be touched.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
So Matt Ryan is a 2.4.
Wow.
That's legit.
That's legit.
Now, here's the one that I'm pretty sure, well, Wayne Gretzky's a 9.8. Alice Cooper,
I was going to ask about Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper's a 7.
Yeah. He plays a lot, I've heard.
Now, here's the one that I might be able to hang with.
Let's see. Okay. Actor, musician?
Musician.
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 You might be able to beat.
Canadian singer.
Canadian.
Brian Ferry?
Nelly Furtado.
Celine Dion.
Shut up.
17.
So she's a player.
I mean...
God, she's as thin as a golf club.
Yeah, right.
God's sakes, Jesus.
That's, man. I was actually surprised by that one. Like, oh,
I think one down the line, just because this is election year, too, we should look at all the presidents.
Oh, geez.
You know, and see.
I thought I read somewhere that Donald Trump has 15, 20 club championships.
Because he's the first one out.
But I hear that he builds a course, goes out there, plays by himself, and that counts as the club championship when he's the first one to play. And that's
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hey, guys, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. But we do want to thank Jacob for coming on, and safe travels. And like I said, really appreciate everything you did hard work-wise this year and the uncertainty of the year of the vid and the year of the buttery draw. It's going to be... You know, interesting to see what happens going forward, but I just wanted to thank you.
Keep us posted, man. Keep us posted.
Yeah, definitely. And, I'll be out in Arizona. I'm sure we'll get together. We got a couple things to settle some bets on anyway.
And I'll be sending you guys pictures all winter. You guys will know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I always make sure there's a palm tree in the background somehow.
That's nice. I end up doing that, too. When we end up in the Keys, I'm like, oh boy, it's a rough one out here today, fellas.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's like... chilly, I will take off my jacket just so it looks like I'm in nice weather for the
people. Yeah, right. That's how you got to do it.
And obviously, we can't guarantee that there won't be a profane answer coming back.
Right on.
It's weird how I only do it when you guys have crappy weather here, though.
Yeah, that's weird.
That really hurts.
It is weird.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely check out the Chip In for Charity and the Quick Nine at Pebble Creek. We're going to try to get out to Rustic Ridge this weekend and give that one a whirl. And I doubt that we're going to get Travis to walk another 9 with us this year. But we're going to enjoy these bonus days. I mean, it's in the 70s here in November. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.